The Lord. Amen. We singing like we can sing, and singing loud. Amen. We thank God for all of His wonderful blessings, life, health, strength, and the presence of mind to worship Him in spirit and in truth. We don't want Him to take any minutes off, any seconds off, and sure enough, any days off, and any forevers. We just hope to keep living on and on. Even sick, we go to the doctor. We will want to keep on singing. Something hurt, fix it, doctor. We want to keep on living. That's when you need the Lord. Hold to God's unchanging hand. A text you can read, John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. Are you giving God what He wants? Are you giving God what He wants? Again, John chapter 6, verses 25 through 35. Listen carefully, quickly, and by the grace of God, I'll be through. If God is only a word in a book, or a name we put on our coins, or only a word for the mystically inclined, then nothing could be more wasteful of time and energy than playing church and going through the motions of religion. On the other hand, if God is real, if He be in the fact the author of life, not only alive, but the author of life, the sovereign Lord of history, if He be the one to which all humans are answerable, in that case, absolutely, positively, nothing could be more needful than for us to do what? To know what God requires of us as we live here on planet Earth. This is the question put to Jesus following the miracle of the loaves. This is the question. The crowd was listening. The crowd overtook Jesus on the other side of Galilee in a place called Capernaum. Never heard of it except in the Bible. Jesus greeted them with a firm reprimand. In your Bible, John chapter 6, verses 26 and 7. Jesus answered them, and Jesus gave answer unto them, "You seek me, but why? Not because you saw the miracles, but because you did eat of the loaves and was filled." Human beings don't change much, do they? No matter what century. Verse 27, "Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For Him hath God the Father sealed," put in charge. This reprimand prompted a question. Realizing they were on the wrong track in John chapter 6 and verse 28. "Then said they unto him, What must we do? That we might work the works of God." Verse 2. What does God want of us? What does He want us to do? If he is to be satisfied with our doing, What must we do? That's a good question for every age and for every sound-thinking human being. What does God want from these creatures that he has created, called humans? The question suggests that we must know the works which God demands and approves. What is precisely what God waits on us to do and be satisfied? This was their question. You're still there? And it's our question. We can be thankful that they put the question to the Father, and that they put it to Jesus, and then the Father knows, who knows all things. But his Son answers the question in John chapter 6 and verse 29 in your Bible. Jesus answered and said unto them, "This is the work of God, that you believe on him." Listen carefully, or follow me along in your Bible. "This is the work of God, that you believe, on him whom he," God, "hath sent." Wow. That's it. At first glance or hearing, the answer may seem rather dull. They ask, "What must we do?" Jesus answered, "Believe. Believe on him whom God hath sent, and go to heaven." That's it. That's all of it. Perhaps some of you are disappointed, but that's all. Not very exciting to some. Not very intellectual to some. If only he had announced some deed of daring, asked that you take some heroic stand. What must we do? Just name it. March in the streets, wave a flag, clear the slums, build a tower. It's too simple. That's what you say. Jesus said none of those things. Even after noticing the sensitivity of the crowd, Jesus was telling them the bone-clearing doctrine. He did not mount a crusade or launch a drive. Jesus says, "This is the work of God, my Father, that you believe on him who he hath sent." Hello? Anybody still home? It's for them and for us. What's our major concern? What's our major determination as human beings? Believe on his Son, Jesus Christ. God loves his Son, just like human beings today love our children. But we only read, not about children, personal children, but we only read about God having Jesus as his personal Son. Believe on him. Think about it. The Bible tells us that one day we're going to leave this world, and we're going to be resurrected. According to Revelation, we're going to be resurrected. And God is going to have a record that he has kept. That's in our Bible. On every human being. He knows every time that we have said an encouraging word to somebody. He knows every time that we have come to worship. And worshiped him in spirit and in truth. When we have been faithful and when we have not been faithful, God knows everything. And he tells us, lets us know that ahead of time. so that we can make our calling and election sure. God wants us to have faith in Him and His Son. With us, faith may be an elusive something, but with God, it is altogether an indispensable requirement. In our Bibles, I started to say in your Bible, the chapters 11 and the verses 6, but without faith, it is what? It is absolutely, positively impossible to please God. Now notice that. Since it's impossible to please God, what must our action be? Since we must please God in order to be saved, what must our action be? The answer is simple. The answer is simple. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly handling the word of truth, and fellowshipping with our brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus in worship services. Not skipping around, coming when we feel like it. God. He's the answer. He's the answer to whom we are going to face in the last, when we rise from the grave. It won't be our neighbors. It won't be our cousins that we're going to face. It's going to be God. And placing the blame on, Bonifacio made me do it. I'll get Bonifacio, but I'm with you right now. Faith in God. And doing the faith. And God paid a high price for us to have the privilege to come and live with Him forever. Forever. He sent His only begotten Son. Nothing was new to God. He knew exactly what was going to happen. He knew what His Son was going to have to endure just for us. So when we think about night church, coming to Bible class, what price did God pay that we would have such a privilege to obey Him, give us the information to obey Him, bless us with the presence of mind to know what to do? And we sing the song so gloriously. Hold to His hand, to God's hand. Now that's it. I know you want more, but that's it. God loves us. He wants us. He tells us about heaven. He tells us about how beautiful it is. The Bible tells us that. Gives us that information. But that's just a parcel of what heaven is going to be like. Beyond human imagination. It wouldn't have to be so pretty for me to know that the option is. That should be, I don't know how to put it, but that should be something that we jump at. Serving God, learning what He would have us to be and how He would have us to live on planet Earth, based upon what He has done for us and based upon what happens when we disobey God and die in that state. He also gives us some information on that. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 6, but without faith it is impossible to please God, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that who? Diligently seek Him. Not only, it is not just faith that is commended, but faith in the abstract is not a biblical category. It is not the fact of faith, watch this, that is crucial, but the object of faith. Faith in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Just to have faith in faith makes no sense. God wants us to have faith in Jesus Christ, whom he has sent all the way from glory to live on planet Earth. Just for human beings. And you know what's such interesting about that? Man sinned early on when there was not a whole heap of lot of people on planet Earth. He could just say, whew, disappear and start all over again. But he didn't. He didn't. All because of his love for us. God has manifested his love for us. Question for each of us, self included. What are we manifesting in God and for God on planet Earth? He went to a great trial of tribulation. If it's human for him to do that, just for us, sent his only begotten Son just for us. Is it too much to come tonight, church? Is it too much to say, yes, Lord? We sing the song, Hold to God, Unchanging Hand. He said, Jesus Christ, as I said heretofore, who is that? Only begotten Son. He wants us to trust him. For he has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ, that we might be faithful, committed, dedicated servants for the Lord. And guess what? Coming back to night church, that's too much. God is asking too much for me to come back to night church. God is asking too much for me to come to Bible class. What did God do for us that we could not and cannot do for ourselves? Let us respond in a faithful, F-A-I-T-H, faithful response to God's unchanging word. The eternal God has opened up the doorway of living forever with him, forever, without any sickness, without any hurt, any harm, and never having any kind of problems. That's what God has waiting for us. They don't have to worry about headaches. We don't read about God having a headache and sending for a pill. Are we on the same page tonight? The eternal God has opened up the roadway to glory land like nothing we have ever seen. Since God has spoken, it is our duty to hear, believe, receive, and obey him. John chapter 6 and verse 27. For him hath God the Father sealed. Since God has spoken, it is our duty to hear, believe, and obey. Not because it feels good, but because it is good. And in your Bible, in the book of John, chapter 6, and you might read chapter 29 that I've just mentioned, I believe. Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. What? That's it? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. The work of God for us is to believe on his only begotten Son, whom he sent anyhow, just for us. And we had disobeyed him. But he sent him, anyway. This is the work. Verse 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. Jesus is talking about life of faith, a life of faith on planet Earth. God wants us to know his will and to do his will without hesitation, without reservation, and without complaining. We sing the song, as I said heretofore. Do what? Oh, to God's unchanging hand. Where are you tonight? Let me ask another question. Where is your love for Christ? Where is your love for the Father who sent him just for us? And you have perhaps asked your question, asked this question in your mind regarding God. When whoever sinned, and is, instead of him sending his Son, why not just wipe out that person instead of starting all over again? And he doesn't have to send his Son because he's God. But he wouldn't even, from the human perspective, it seems that he just wiped that one out. Another one that's faithful. And then let it be. Let it be. No dying for anyone. But he didn't do that. He loved us so much that he was willing to live, to give his only begotten Son. How can we think ever that I'm giving too much? I'm doing too much. I'm going to worship too much. How is that possible? When it's an impossibility for us, if God had not looked down upon us and made his decision because of his love. Let us love God. Let us, church, love one another. If God can love us, hello, why can't we who are imperfect love one another? And we are given information ahead of time that there's going to be a judgment. And the judge is going to be a being that knows everything about us and what we did, how we lived our lives on planet Earth. Let us not just sing the song, but let us do the deeds in holding to what? God's unchanging hand. If we don't want to live with God in glory land, the only house, living place that the Bible talks about for us is with God. In the end time, how can we not love the Lord and he's the one that's making plans for us to come and live with him? Not over yonder, with him. Let us who have been blessed to hear the gospel, to believe it, live it. Live it in such a way that God is well pleased and others will be encouraged to do the same thing. Is anybody home? There is only one life that we human beings live on planet Earth. But as we continue to read God's Bible and the book of Revelation, it lets us know that God is going to raise us up at the final roundup. And He, God, same book, same chapter, has a written revelation of a life that we live on planet Earth. And it's going to be open on that day of judgment. Read your Bible. And we're going to be judged by the record that's kept in glory land by God. All we want to hear from Him, our Heavenly Father, at the judgment. He doesn't have to make a whole sentence. All we want to hear is how many words? Two words. And they are? Well done. Well done. I wouldn't even be upset if you left out, well done, thy good and faithful son. Just well done is enough for me, God. Amen. Let us hold together on God, in planet Earth, in His church. Let us hold together and work together. And let Him work through us to reach out to others. Let Him work through us to finish the work that He has blessed us to begin. And say hallelujah. Never complaining. All this work good. Come, you blessed of my Father. Inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. You understand that? I've got two more pages, but you may not have two more hours. The lesson is yours. The lesson is yours. If you believe that you need prayer, we're here to help one another. To work one with another. To do the will of God. Not just to try to do the will of God, but to do the will of God. To complete what He has brought us to. And we're so glad. We're so glad. If you need prayer that your faith might be increased, you come. If you've sinned against the Savior, you come. Renew your covenant. Rededicate your life to your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And if you're here and you're not a member of the one church that Jesus shed His blood for. Jesus did not shed His blood for churches. He shed His church. He shed His blood, gave His blood to establish one church. It's in your Bible. And when you read your Bible, particularly Revelation chapter 20, you only read about one Bible. Just like there's just one Lord. Therefore, there's just one hope. And what is that, Brother Brown? To hear His word that I've endeavored to share with you. To believe His word with all of your heart. To be godly sorrowful for the sins that you've committed. And to acknowledge His Son as Lord and Savior. And be buried in water baptism for the forgiveness of every sin you have ever committed. And add it to the church of Christ, the one church that His Son died on Calvary's cross. You can also become a member of that church. Live faithfully. Die. Called off the scene of time by God. Raised up. At the final roundup of human beings. And hear Him say. From the record that He's keeping. And when you read Revelation 20. It tells you. It tells us in plain English. He keeps a record. You will hear Him say. Well done. a good and faithful servant. Anybody here? Anybody here in that category? Or perhaps you're already a member of the body, but you have not been faithful to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He stands ready to forgive you if you're ready to repent and ask the church to pray for your forgiveness. As we together stand and sing this song.
There's a fountain free, 'tis for you and me. Let us haste, oh haste, to the brink. 'Tis a fount of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come?